And welcome to What's Up Nuper Radio Edition. Ryan Belmore here with you on this Friday, 106 p.m., 58 degrees here in the city by the sea. We are looking at cloudy and cooler with rain tapering off. No rain falling now, but I'll tell you what, I drove up earlier today to the northern country, to North America, up there in the East Providence area, and it was downpouring on the way up there as well as on the way back, and over the bridges was just almost unbearable to drive over on our way back here, pouring so hard. But partly cloudy, patchy fog late tonight, low 54. Your weekend forecast here is tomorrow, sunny, pleasant, and warmer, high of 72, low tomorrow night of 52, and then on Sunday, 66. Sunny, low Sunday night of 56, of course, for all the festivity this weekend. All across the state, there are plenty of things going on, including, of course, Norman Bird Sanctuary Harvest Fair. Huge Gloria Gemma Flames of Hope water fire happening up in Providence, as well as many other festivities. So hopefully you get out there and enjoy them. If you're looking for a roundup of all the events that are happening across the state, as well as live music, you check out whatsuprhodeisland.com. If you're looking for what is happening here in and around Newport, whatsupnoop.com has a full listing of all the things that are happening this weekend, as well as live music listings. Special thanks to my friends from the road show for having me on Fox Providence this morning. I was up there, and I just made the cut. They had to go to the Kavanaugh hearings, but just before they did, I was able to get on there and chat about some of the news of the week with my friends on the road show. So I appreciate them for calling and having me come on up. And it's always a great time. You can check it out, roadshow.com, and you'll get a full roundup. It was a funny discussion this morning, so be sure to check that out. Well, it was 1 week ago that, let's see here, there was a big old press conference at 5 o'clock last Friday at Gurney's Newport Resort and Marina. And we had talked about it just about every day last week, and it started kind of like this. I believe the press release came out on Monday or Tuesday, and let's see here. What I'm going to do is I'll introduce her so she can kind of help me with this, how this timeline. Dr. Kathy Boss from Rhode Island Archaeology, Rhode Island Marine Archaeology Project, RIMAP. That's why I only say that sometimes, doctor, is here with me. Press release came out Monday or Tuesday?
We sent it out on Sunday afternoon, and when people pick it up depends.
I talked about it on the air probably on Monday, and you know, read and hey, this is going to happen. Went to bed just like many other people around here, and then on Tuesday I woke up and the world, everybody across the world was talking about, is it the Endeavor here in Narragansett Bay, Newport Harbor?
Yes, yes, it really went international this time again. Over the years, we've been very careful about saying where we are in the research and what the next step is. And we finally got to the point where we think we're closing in on that one site. And so this time we were saying, yep, we think this is the one we need to close in on. And of course, now we've got to prove it, which means we've got to go to the next phase of the research. But we've done many different interviews, lots of coverage around the world, including in Japan and Russia this time for the first time. Yeah, Australia, New Zealand, England, various places around the world where Cook was actually been, they pay attention. But to have some of these other places was really quite exciting.
And of course, it's probably most important to Australia. They had I was standing out there with my little camera and Facebook Live-ing it last Friday, and had, it felt like 50 news stations with all their big cameras, most of them from Australia, some of the biggest news stations, the Irish Times and all of these others standing around me.
Yes.
Probably most important to Australia?
Well, Captain Cook in the Endeavor did quite a bit of exploring in the South Pacific. He circumnavigated New Zealand, and New Zealand gets a little hostile because they say they always get overlooked in all the press about Australia. But Australia is particularly interested because Cook claimed Australia for Britain in the Endeavor, which is why they think of Cook as being their founding father and the Endeavor as being their founding vessel. And of course, later in its career, the Endeavor left Cook, did some other sailing, and then wound up coming to Rhode Island and then was scuttled in Newport Harbor for us to find all those years later. But this is the 2018 is the 250th anniversary of Cook leaving England. So England has special exhibits and celebrations going on. There's a really good exhibit on exploration at the Greenwich Maritime Museum in England. Next year is a celebration in New Zealand of when he circumnavigated New Zealand. But the really big one is going to be in 2020 for the claiming of Australia for Britain. And so we're trying to position Rhode Island to take advantage of all of that tourism and heritage excitement about what happened with the Endeavour.
I was kind of shocked going to the press conference, looking around. You have all this worldwide media. I didn't feel like there was a lot of local Rhode Island media, Newport media, American media. And then I was shocked that you mentioned the tourism, that we didn't see anybody, any government officials from the state of Rhode Island or from the city of Newport, or we didn't see anybody from the tourism industry. Did that shock you? Or
Well, they are networked with us very well. The Newport Tourism and Convention people know all about what we do. We also know that all of our representatives, our legislators and the like, they are aware of what we're doing. Whether or not they were there that evening, it may be a disappointment for you, but we have been very aggressive about trying to position this particular research and everything else we do in terms of maritime history to be found in the waters of Rhode Island, that this is an overlooked part of the heritage tourism industry that could be developed. And since heritage tourism is the second most important economic driver in the state, this is an area that we could develop. The only thing is that if you've got shipwrecks and other sites in the waters, you've got to do it carefully. You've got to do it properly. And so we've been working with all those people all this time. The thing is that people locally are going to want to come and see some of the local sites. People nationwide might want to see some of the sites that have national historic interest. But the Endeavour is the one that puts Rhode Island's maritime history on an international platform that nothing else in the state does. And we want to be sure that the state of Rhode Island takes advantage of that.
Last time you were here, we were trying to guess before the show. It was 2 or 4 years ago. I think it was 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. I find it fascinating that there was a total of 15, 17 ships at the bottom.
There were 13 that were sunk 13. In that one.
I knew it was an odd number, so I was close.
It was a good guess. But there were a whole series of other vessels that were lost in Rhode Island during the American Revolution, and we've been studying them as well. Royal Navy vessels that are sunk along the west coast of Aquidneck Island. These are the Royal Navy frigates. There were small armed vessels from the Royal Navy that were sunk in the Sakonnet. There were quite a few other transports that were lost in the local area. There were privately owned vessels that were lost in the area, all from the 18th century. But then you also have what happened in the 19th century with the maritime trade. You've got all of the Navy stuff that's in our waters. There's a tremendous amount of history that is on land, but you can also see history underwater. And that's the part that we're trying to share with the general public.
So how important are those, you know, the Endeavour gets all the credit. How important are these other boats, and is it worth focusing on them, or I don't know, the word digging up, is it worth pulling whatever's left in the water that's left of any of these ships, the Endeavour or any of them, out of the water?
The philosophy of marine archaeology today is that we do not raise shipwrecks unless there's a really good reason to do so. And the reason for that is that they're very hard to preserve and to take care of once they're out of the water. They're better if they're left in situ in the same place where they're stable. They can be shared. If you create a program where divers can see them, or you can have other non-invasive ways to share with the public. But actually taking ships up is a really expensive prospect. And some of the large ships that have been raised, like the Mary Rose and the Vasa, they are very important tourism industries in their own countries, in England and in Scandinavia. But the problem is they're also very expensive. And so if we were to do something like raise the Endeavour, it's a really big commitment. And I think there are better ways, more appropriate ways from an archaeologist's point of view, to share that with the public than actually raising something. Now, something that's not as prominent as the Endeavour, it comes down to money. What is actually going to be able to raise the money to do the kind of thing that you're describing?
Well, for our listeners, we're not talking about that there is an entire ship still intact at the bottom. Approximately how much of, you know, an average ship that's at the bottom down there is still left?
Well, there's quite a bit of structure of some of these vessels that is left there. What happens is the ship goes down, and it starts to degrade. The organic materials will rot away, but as it covers with silt, all the inorganics are still there, the metals and glass and ceramics and things like that. But the wood and the textiles and the leather and all of that goes away unless it's covered over with silt. And once it's covered with silt and all the oxygen is absorbed, there's no more oxygen, and that's called going anaerobic. Okay. And if it's anaerobic, then nothing's going to rot. And as long as that silt is undisturbed, all of that material is still there. So when we did some test excavations early on in other sites, not the Endeavor site, but in other of these 18th century sites, we actually came up with small excavations that had wood and metals and the like, but also leather, textiles, pieces of clothing,
wow.
Things that you would never expect that would still survive, and yet they are there. To take care of that kind of material, to do a major excavation, which is the next step for the Endeavor project, is to open it up, at least part of it, and see what the structure looks like for the vessel and what kind of artifacts are on board. We need an artifact management facility. And that's the next step, is to raise the money to have that facility where we can take care of the artifacts that will come off this site, and then be able to share that with the public, have them on display, say, you know, we're not going to raise the ship, but here are artifacts that came off the ship. And that would draw people from Australia, from New Zealand, from around the world to see. Already a lot of people come internationally to Rhode Island to see our great beaches and our mansions and other historic sites. Why not add what is underwater to that list of attractions?
All right. What we'll do is we'll come back on that topic when we get back here on What's Up Newport Radio Edition after this.
For those who heat their home or business with oil and who want the best price, guaranteed, it's New England Energy Corporation, owned by Travers Plumbing and Heating, serving all of Aquidneck Island. New England Energy Corporation applies the highest standards in quality service. They specialize in boiler replacements, oil tank replacements, burner cleaning, new heating systems, and 24/7 emergency service. Locally owned and operated by Gary Travers. Call today for their burner boiler specials. New England Energy Corporation. Great service, lowest priced oil, and no minimums on oil deliveries. Call today, 683-0370. That's 683-0370. New England Energy Corporation, owned by Travers Plumbing and Heating. Corrigan Financial realizes the need for financial planning services has never been greater, due in part to essential concerns such as longer life expectancies, spending demands, and income tax and estate planning. Corrigan Financial believes everyone needs a financial plan, and that all financial decisions should be made within the context of that planning framework. Currently, Corrigan Financial works with over 950 families, manages over $600 million of investment assets, and prepares income tax returns for nearly all their clients. Corrigan Financial's knowledgeable staff includes 11 CPAs, many with advanced degrees and financial planning-specific designations. These people, along with considerable investments in systems and technology, have helped keep Corrigan Financial at the forefront of the wealth management profession. Corrigan Financial, for more than 25 years, helping their clients get from where they are to where they want to be. Established in 1979, O'Brien's Pub has always been one of Newport's most popular gathering places. O'Brien's Pub offers several widescreen TVs for all your sporting pleasure. During the summer, O'Brien's outdoor patio seats more than 200 and has an extensive food menu. Their family-friendly atmosphere includes a playfish fountain to entertain children while caretakers relax. O'Brien's also caters to your friendly, well-behaved furry friend with a puppy delight menu, doggy treats, and a fresh water bowl. For those rehearsal dinner parties or after-wedding parties, the inside pub accommodates up to 140 guests and is a perfect casual choice. Other notable highlights include the pool table, complimentary parking, weekly food specials, entertainment, plus a wide selection of draft beers featuring several local craft beers. O'Brien's Pub, 501 Thames Street, Newport, the ideal location for all your dining, social, and party planning needs.
Hi, I'm Lisa.
And I'm Gail. We're co-owners of Gill's Appliances with locations in Bristol and Middletown. Shop Gill's Columbus Day Sale going on from September 26th through October 10th and enjoy amazing savings in-store and online on ranges and refrigerators, washers and dryers, and all your appliance needs.
Whether you're planning a home renovation or new construction, the fall is a great time to get started. Visit us at 397 Medicom Avenue in Bristol, 926 Aquidneck Avenue in Middletown, or online at gillsappliances.com.
Come see the difference Gill's makes.
Hey, Rhode Island, don't forget to bring your unwanted household goods, clothes, kitchenware, toys, and shoes to the Planet A Donation Center, located at 1 Mile Corner at 533 Broadway in Newport. Open Monday through Saturday from 9 till 4, Sunday from 10 till 2. Their attendant will help you unload. Please don't leave anything outside, or now you can get curbside pickup. Call Chris at 732-259-7943. Planet A is a nonprofit organization dedicated to the environment and to funding worldwide development projects for the poor.
1540 WADK, your hometown information station.
And welcome back to What's Up, Newport Radio Edition. Of note, Middletown was expected to celebrate their 10th annual Family Day this evening. Just got word that it has been postponed. The new rain date is October 5th. This is a national movement to celebrate the simple, everyday things parents do with their kids, sharing a meal, playing a game, or enjoying a beach bonfire. It was scheduled for this evening from 5 to 9 at Second Beach. And the Middletown Prevention Coalition was inviting you and your family to enjoy live music by Ben Connor, Sandcastle Competition, Games, Bonfire, food trucks on site. So that is all still going to happen, but it's going to be next Saturday. Hard to believe it, but next Saturday is October 5th. Monday is October 1st. Moving right along, Dr. Kathy Abbas. Yeah, at RIMAP. Is here with us talking to us about the endeavor. Started talking about this facility that you need for the things. I guess before we dive into that, I wanted to ask you, you know, if this is the endeavor, your thoughts right now here in the last few days of September, how much of it do we pull up or how much do we need of it to pull up?
Well, to be able to tell what the ship is like, what we would like to do is to open up parts of half of the vessel along the center line.
Okay.
You don't have to excavate the whole thing to know how the ship is shaped. This is a maritime community, so most of your listeners probably know what a half-hull model looks like. You only need that one half of the vessel, and you know what the rest of the ship looks like. So what we would like to do is to open up at least enough of the vessel to get a good idea of what her shape is, what she was made out of, and what the materials might have been, where the woods came from and the like, because we know a lot about all of the fleet, where they were built, where they sailed, who was on board, what kinds of materials they might have carried that would be left behind in an archaeological site that we could then use to identify which of these archaeological sites is which ships. We'd gone through looking for all 13, and we've actually mapped 10 of them. And it looks like of the 10 that we had a pretty good chance up till 2 years ago when we did some publicity with you before that 10 out of 13 was a pretty good chance that we had actually found the endeavor. Figuring out which one it was the question. Then a couple of years ago, we saw the document in London of the man who was responsible for the transports, and he said he actually sent these west of Goat Island, he sent those up towards Coasters Harbor, and he sent five to protect the North Battery, which is where the site was that we were talking about on Friday. At that time, we had found what we think was four of the sites of five. So four out of five is an 80% chance we already had her. What we needed to know this year and last year as well is there another site there, and is there anything else in the area that could be one of these historic sites? And that's what we've done in the past 2 years, is say we've got five sites that are there. One is badly disturbed, but it's possible that there's something else there. Nope, there's nothing else there. It looks like we have all five of them. And now we have to ask which one is the largest. Because of the five, the ones we know that were put together, put down together, the Endeavor was the largest. Her name was Lord Sandwich at the time.
Yep.
And of the five vessels, she was in the 300-ton range. Two were in 200-ton range, and the other two were smaller. So if we find the one that looks on the surface, what's exposed under the silt, is the largest, then that's the primary target. We're still wondering what else might be under all the silt nearby. But the one we were talking about on Friday is the largest, so that's our primary candidate. to be able to tell, is it really the Endeavor? It means we're going to have to open her up just a little bit. And when we open her up, that's going to generate artifacts, it's going to generate samples, and we've got to have a facility to be able to take care of all of
that. Any thought, seeing that it's going to be found here in Newport, of maybe a facility in Newport somewhere?
Newport, of course, would be the ideal location, but prices here are way out of bounds for what we think is really possible. The facility could be anywhere in the state. We'd like to stay in Rhode Island. It could be anywhere in the state, but the exhibit space should be in Newport. At least shoreside interpretive signs and that kind of sharing with the public. It could be anywhere. What a lot of people think, the Australians want to take her home and New Zealand wants to take her home.
Well, that's another question, is who's been, is it this just all privately invested, me giving you $20 to do this work? Is there any... Are there any of the other governments that are excited about this, invested in it, and going to try to take ownership of any of this?
Well, that's two different questions. Who's going to pay and who owns it? The answer is Rhode Island owns it. There's no question about that. When we discovered that the Endeavor was in this fleet, and by the way, the fleet itself is important for American Revolutionary War history, for Rhode Island history, for the whole of the United States, that fleet is significant. But for the Endeavor... we were concerned that somebody else might come in and try to take control of her. And so in 1999, the Attorney General at the time went to federal court and took salvage award and a number of other legal maneuvers to make sure that Rhode Island had custody of the vessel. After a year went by, nobody challenged that, and then took title to all of the ships that were in that fleet. So when we do find the Endeavor and say, yep, that's her, she belongs to the state of Rhode Island, and there will be no legal challenge to that. And the person who was the Attorney General at that time is now our junior U.S. Senator, Sheldon Whitehouse. So as long as he's watching, I think it's going to be an international, interesting legal maneuver if somebody else tried to take advantage of trying to own the Endeavor.
Now, I think of our listeners out there, and they might be saying, well, you know, what's taking so long? Why can't we just go down there right now and find out if it's her?
Money. It's all about money. We've never had money from the state of Rhode Island to support any of our research. They're very helpful in the State Historic Preservation Commission with other kinds of support, with giving us permits and the like. But there's never been any cash from the state budget to support any of the work that we do. And we work all around the state on many different kinds of projects. It's just that the Endeavor is the one that generates the publicity. The problem is, of course, that the state of Rhode Island has other economic responsibilities, and so supporting the kind of work we do has always been a challenge for us to make sure people pay attention. The thing is that we are all volunteers. We are a nonprofit volunteer organization that trains members of the public to participate in professionally directed marine archaeology research. And all of our leaders, all of our trainers, all of those are all volunteers. So we've done all of this, and we've come to find the Endeavor for the state of Rhode Island without state funding. If everybody who listens to this would send us a dollar or two, we could probably raise the money we need. We know that the publicity in Australia after the Friday evening event, that there were 19 million people in Australia out of a population of 24 million that actually saw that publicity. If every one of those 19 people gave us a dollar, we would have certainly enough money to do what we want to do. The Australian National Maritime Museum has been our partner for a number of years off and on, and for the last 3 years they've given us a small grant that has helped a lot to hire a larger research vessel and to have more resources. Unfortunately, the state of Rhode Island has not come forward with cash, but they've been helpful in other ways. So we're hoping that our legislators do understand that this is an internationally significant good thing for the state of Rhode Island, and it's all being done by citizens of the state of Rhode Island for the benefit of state of Rhode Island and without any money.
What do you think the magic number is? If I could write you a blank check today and said, what amount do you need in order to find out that's Endeavor and get this process going, done?
If we were to have everything on our wish list, we're looking at about $5.5 million to have a building, to fill it with the equipment that it needs to have, with the proper storage that it needs to have, to staff it with the specialists that it needs to have, not just somebody with an academic degree in archaeology, but somebody who is trained in proper conservation. That means somebody with a chemistry, physics, and material science background. That's where conservators come from. And also, of course, we would want an endowment that would help to keep the program going in the future. But it would take quite a bit less than that to get us started. So what we always say is ask for what you really want and then back off. So 5.5 is what I'm looking for.
And at what point what do we have to do to prove that it's the endeavor? Is there a wood test? Is it pulling a portion of her out of the water? When will we be 100% certain?
Well,
or how can we be 100% certain?
Well, this is science, and so you cannot promise anything. As I said on Friday, this is not a documentary where it comes to a nice conclusion in 50 minutes, I'm sorry to say. But we have started doing things like taking wood samples, seeing if the wood that she's built out of is consistent with how the Endeavor was originally built. We're also looking for evidence that she had been elsewhere and repaired elsewhere. When she went around the world with Cook, she went aground on the Great Barrier Reef, and there was a very dramatic story about that. She was repaired in the river there, possibly with local wood. We don't know. Then she went to Batavia, which was a Dutch shipyard, and was repaired enough for her to be able to get back to London by herself. And then later she was used as a transport when she was carrying troops to North America. She had to be repaired in London for that. And what kind of changes would have happened to her while she was here in Newport being used as a prison ship? And the interesting thing is that people say Endeavor, Endeavor, Endeavor. I say Lord Sandwich, Lord Sandwich, Lord Sandwich, because it's that later use of the vessel that is most likely going to have left behind evidence of what she was. And we now know that in 1777, there were prisoners that were taken on board, and one of those prisoners was named John Townsend, the great cabinet maker from the Townsend-Goddard family. So were we to find something associated with the prisoners that were on board, a tool that belonged to John Townsend or something like that, that would be evidence that this was the Lord Sandwich. We don't have to prove that it's the Endeavor. But because we know the Lord Sandwich was the Endeavor, if we can prove that, then we've got her. So everybody focuses on the Endeavor? Sure, that's the publicity that's going to raise the money internationally because that's what everybody's interested in. But it's what we find on the vessel now that's going to prove which one she was. And we know about the history of the Lord Sandwich. And so that's the significant question.
So you're not going to be able to prove it by finding a name tag on the back of the boat or something of the sort.
I doubt that
it's not that easy.
I would be very surprised.
Or a registration.
I'd be very grateful if we come up with something like that. But we have started taking wood samples of what is exposed on this one site. We did some scantling measurements of how the timbers that were exposed are. Unfortunately, a lot of the timbers that are exposed out of the silt are degraded, so we really need to look at things that haven't started to degrade, which means opening them up. If we find wood that's consistent with how she was built, if we find artifacts on board or microfauna that might be consistent with the fact that she'd been to the South Pacific that could be embedded in the silt. There's a number of different questions. And on the RIMAP.org website, there's a long essay about the kinds of questions we should be asking that would answer what you just said. But for every one of those questions, there's also a yes but. So if we say we found microfauna in the bilge that comes from the South Pacific, that is useful to prove it could be the Endeavor, but it's not exclusively so because there were other ships in Rhode Island during the Revolution that had been to the South Pacific. Is it possible that the timbers are consistent with a ship being built in Whitby, England, where the Endeavor was built? But there were other ships that were built in the nearby areas as well. So what we're looking for is a combination of circumstances that are exclusively related to the Endeavor. But the critical thing is that none of the other sites have that same combination. So it's a process of elimination as much as it is a process of proving one site to be that one vessel. We've been at this a long time, so we have a lot of that written on our website.
Yes.
If anybody's interested.
I'm just wondering, all the boats that are down there, have they become just a part of the ecosystem?
Yes.
And how important are they a part of the ecosystem?
Well, the vessels are now in are now quite stable. Whatever has degraded, and as long as they're not disturbed, they'll stay that way in perpetuity. That's the anaerobic nature of the silt that's covering them. Some of the sites are just ballast piles, and everything else appears to be gone. Some of the sites have quite a bit of wood structure that is still in the silt. Some of the sites look very disturbed, like maybe anchor drags have come through in the past. We know that in the late 19th and early 20th century, the Navy Torpedo Station had a diver training program, and they found historic shipwrecks in Newport Harbor, and they were blowing them up for practice and also tearing them up. Well, people in those days didn't know about historic preservation and the reason for protecting these. So how much of that later usage of the harbor has disturbed these sites? One of the sites we mapped last year looks very much like a ballast pile that has been quite tossed around, and that's what happens when you anchor on top of something. That chain pulls it all apart.
And for those wondering where the area we're talking about, just north of Goat Island, it is just south of the Newport Pell Bridge. It's funny, I was making fun of some of the national or worldwide media reports where the yellow circle was moving further and further. It was almost circling Block Island at one point on some maps. Yes. But that is where we're talking about. Mm-hmm. I know you needed to get going here. If you were a betting person, percentage chance that that's the Endeavor?
I'd say 95%.
95%
chance. There's a chance that could be an alternate explanation, but we spent a long time looking at this, and there's no other site in that restricted area that is the right size and looks like it might have the right combination of circumstances.
Here's a question. Do they think they have her anywhere else, or are they looking for her anywhere else?
There is a competing story that was in place for 170 years that she had come to Newport 15 years later as the ship La Liberté, and that's the one that was cut up. She was abandoned along the Newport shoreline, and she was cut up, and there are pieces of that vessel in museums and private collections all around the world. But it's possible that that particular vessel was the Resolution of Cook's second and third voyages,
okay,
which means that two of the four vessels that sailed around the world with Cook, the greatest explorer in the history of European navigation, that two of those four vessels wound up in Newport Harbor 15 years apart and 2 miles apart. That's an incredible story.
It is. Where can people go for more information? And, of course, where can they go to support this cause?
The Rhode Island Marine Archaeology Project website, rymap.org, has all of this information there. And there's also a PayPal button if you'd like to join us. We're all volunteers. Anybody can get involved. And, of course, we'll be glad to take your donations, too. And we'll name the building after you if you come up with the big bucks.
All right. Well, I'll see what I got in my wallet when we take a commercial break. I want to thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Please come back and keep us in the know of what's going on here.
Yeah.
All right, Dr. Abbas, we'll be back here in just a few moments.
If you're tired of pushy salespeople and huge stores where every piece of furniture looks the same, then you're not shopping in the right place. Day in and day out for the past 76 years, Ben's Furniture has been offering a very different shopping experience to their loyal customers by offering great selections, honest values, and just the right amount of friendly service. Whether you're looking for a new sofa, a bedroom set, something for the TV, or just a comfortable chair, you owe it to yourself to stop in and see what's right here in your own backyard. Year after year, Ben's has won the Best of Newport Awards for their unique collection of home furnishings and accessories that are styled just right for this area. Stop in, take a look, and see why Ben's has become everyone's favorite spot for finding just about everything you could need for your home. And take advantage of substantial store-wide savings right now. Ben's Furniture, 166 Dame Street, downtown Newport. Free parking right behind the store.
There are so many good reasons to stop by Bridge Liquors on a regular basis, starting with this. Bridge Liquors offers Newport's largest selection of fine wines, craft beers, spirits, and more. When it comes to pricing, Bridge Liquors will not be beat, and they back that up by matching any locally advertised prices. Come in anytime and stroll those value-packed aisles. Choose your favorites and save. Don't forget to check out the 2-4 wine barrels, one of the most popular money-saving features in the store. At Bridge Liquors, special orders are always welcome, and free delivery is always available. Just call 848-9200. That's 848-9200. It's all part of Bridge Liquors' commitment to total customer satisfaction. You'll find Bridge Liquors at 23 Connell Highway, right next to Newport Glass. They're open 7 days a week, 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. Monday through Saturday, from 10 to 6 on Sundays. You get more, you save more at Bridge Liquors. Coming to Midtown Oyster Bar Wednesday night, October 10th, their 6th annual pig roast featuring Devil's Purse Brewing Company. The reception is at 6, the dinner is at 7, $60 plus tax and gratuity. That's Wednesday, October 10th. And look for Midtown Oyster Bar at the Bowens Wharf Seafood Festival, October 13th and 14th. Make sure you try Midtown's lobster mac and cheese or their Bermuda fish chowder. For the best in Newport waterfront dining, you can't go wrong at Midtown Oyster Bar. 345 Thames, call 619-4100.
Fall is here, and it's time to have your seasonal auto checkup. And the best place to go is Barry's Discount Service Center in Newport. Express oil changes are only $14.95, and best of all, you'll be back on the road in only 25 minutes. When the cold sneaks up, you'll want your new car ready, so let us help. Make your appointment today at barrymotors.com or call 401-847-5600. Located across from Walmart in the Newport Mall, right off the Newport Bridge. You will always save at Barry's Sales and Discount Service Center. Don't forget, when your new car's service warranty expires, that's when our service begins. Barry's Auto Group. Take the drive. You're worth it.
Barry's is proud to share the spotlight with these fine area businesses.
Pick Postal for all your shipping needs. UPS, FedEx, and the Postal Service. Postal does it all, including custom packing. Whether you want the quickest shipping or the least expensive, they'll give you expert advice and great customer service. Aquidneck Ave, Middletown, or Bellevue Ave, Newport, next to CVS.
An enchanting evening at Ocean Cliff as you rock the mansion with Newport Mental Health's biggest fundraising gala, Thursday, October 11th, to help provide essential mental health services to Newport County residents. For tickets and info, call 846-1213 or go to newportmentalhealth.org.
Hi, this is Robert Greece on the CEO Show, playing on Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. WADK, 1540 a.m., Newport, Rhode Island.
And welcome back to What's Up Newport Radio Edition here at 143. I want to take a break here and just tap into the ongoing coverage of the vote here of Brett Kavanaugh, Supreme Court. They're scheduled to hold a vote here at 1:30. Let's check in with ABC. We'll see what we got here.
Against the nomination of Kavanaugh, ABC's Andy Field is there and with us live. Andy.
Aaron, there are police ringing the outside of the Supreme Court. I would estimate that there are probably at least 1,000 people out here, all of them saying they support Christine Blasey Ford, the professor who testified yesterday in the Supreme Court that Brett Kavanaugh had sexually assaulted her when they were both teenagers. There are signs here, people holding signs that are saying, Kava, nope. Others saying, we must put an end to sexual assault in this country. We believe her. These are all people that support Christine Blasey Ford. They clearly do not support the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh. It is a relatively peaceful demonstration. There are survivors of sexual assault getting up at a podium at a loudspeaker talking here. Of course, the Supreme Court directly across the street from the U.S. Senate and just about a half a block away from where these Senate hearings are happening in the Dirksen Building. So there was a lot of activity here in this quarter of Washington, D.C., where a critical vote is about to take place, or perhaps not, in the Senate committee. And as you mentioned, Aaron, there are a lot of people here rooting for the Senate committee, or at least the full Senate, not to confirm Judge Kavanaugh. Aaron?
ABC's Andy Field with us from outside the Supreme Court in that crowd of demonstrators against Kavanaugh's nomination. The Judiciary Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley has left his seat at the center of the room, and so it does not appear that a vote is imminent. It was scheduled to happen about 15 minutes ago. Our Deputy Political Director Mary Alice Parks is with us following along. What's going on, Mary Alice?
Here on WADK.
I received a text from a Democratic aide whose boss is one of the Democratic senators on the committee, who said the whole situation is very fluid. We've seen acts of defiance from Democratic senators so far today, some standing up and leaving first thing in the morning, others waiting, giving remarks. Senator Booker gave his remarks and then said that he couldn't stomach being there any further. I think it seems to me like Democrats are trying to decide how to go forward. You know, one thing that really strikes me about this conversation right now is Democrats seem to be saying that something bigger needs to be talked about beyond what happened 30 years ago in one room on one night, but something, a bigger conversation is needed about how the Congress and the Senate treats allegations of sexual assault and how the Supreme Court will continue a reputation of being neutral and nonpartisan, and if that is possible, if Brett Kavanaugh is confirmed.
ABC News Deputy Political Director Mary Alice Parks. Members of the Judiciary Committee, most of them anyway, have just filed back into the room. That does include some of the Democrats who had been huddled in an anteroom. Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley conferring with some of his colleagues on the Republican side, and now appears to be once again sidestepping his way behind some of his colleagues.
And we'll keep this ongoing coverage going on here on What's Up Newport Radio Edition after this quick break here on WADK.
For Sean Napolitano and A1 Roofing of Newport, it's not just about roofing, it's about peace of mind. That's why all roofs installed by A1 are warranted. A1 Roofing is a GAF Master Elite Roofer, a distinction held by less than 2% of roofing companies nationwide. A1 Roofing, partnering with GAF, gives you a registered warranty within 4 weeks of completion, a name you trust, peace of mind you appreciate. A1 Roofing Company, the only GAF Master Elite Roofing contractor in Rhode Island. 265-1019.
At McKay's Furniture, we know the difference between a good sale and a great one. For example, the fall sale is when we get ready for the holiday season and clear inventory for the year ahead. But there's even more to it this year. To start, you'll find the best night's sleep of your life with handmade two-sided shipment bedding. There's quality upholstered floor samples at up to 60% off. Jump on over to the front porch and find selected patio furniture for up to 70% off. How about taking a seat in the world's most comfortable ergonomic chairs from Ekins and save up to $1,500? And this is just the beginning. McKay's has purchased a whole showroom full of the highest quality Zimmerman Chair Company's most beautiful Amish dining rooms. And all at 50% off. It's a first for McKay's. The fall sale at McKay's in North Kingstown is one of our most important.
WADK and Corrigan Financial present another exciting season of high school and college football. Bob Angel and Jim Ascoli bring you the play-by-play for local high school contests as well as Salve Regina University. Catch the action weekends on WADK and WADK.com. Brought to you by
O'Brien's Pub, Newport Propane, West Main Pizza, VD Mercedes-Benz and VD Volvo Cars of Tiverton, Newport Insurance Agency, Midtown Oyster Bar, A1 Roofing and Construction, The Brick Alley Pub and Restaurant, Clements Marketplace, Fieldstones in Portsmouth and Atlantic Grill in Middletown, Salve Regina University, and by Corrigan Financial.
We play by our own rules.
Talk of the Town, Bruce Newberry.
How cool is that?
There's my buddy Bruce.
Weekday mornings from 9 to noon on 1540 WADK.
And welcome back. What's up, Newport Radio Edition? Ryan Belmore back here with you. Live coverage of the Kavanaugh vote.
Many of the Democrats have yet to come back into their chairs. They were in the room. They're out of the room again. But I think all but one of the Republican members taken their seats now. The confirmation of Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh hangs in the balance as we wait to see what the Judiciary Committee is going to do or whether the state of play has at all changed in the last several minutes. Chairman Grassley is adjusting the microphone and wields the gavel.
I recess the meeting until the fall of the gavel. We're going to take action with the motion that's before us. We got to make sure that we have a quorum. Thank you.
And while they count, we
Chuck
are...
Grassley is counting the members of the Judiciary Committee in the room as it debates the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh for the United States Supreme Court.
And count. 151 here. What's up, Nuke Radio Edition? Yeah. Ryan Belmore, WADK.
Republican Senator Jeff Flake taking his seat. Here's Chairman Grassley.
As a point of personal privilege, I'm going to call on Senator Flake to speak. Normally, we would start the vote right now, but as a point of personal privilege, I would call on Senator Flake.
Oh, thank you. I've been speaking with a number of people on the other side. We've had conversations ongoing for a while with regard to making sure that we do due diligence here. And I think it would be proper to delay the floor vote for up to but not more than 1 week in order to let the FBI continue to do an investigation limited in time and scope to the current allegations that are there, and limit in time to no more than 1 week. And I will vote to advance the bill to the floor with that understanding. And I've spoken to a few other members who on my side of the aisle that may be supportive as well. But that's my position. I think that that we ought to do what we can to make sure that we do all due diligence with a nomination this important. And I want to say that this committee has acted properly, and the chairman has been over backwards to do investigations from this committee and to delay this vote in this committee for a week so that that Ms. Ford, Dr. Ford, could be heard, and she was yesterday. So that's with that agreement, I will vote to advance the bill to the floor.
Clerk will call the roll.
Just 1 second. Can Diane speak?
Could we have a description of...
Yeah, what are we voting on? Let's see.
We are voting on the motion to report the nomination to the floor. The clerk will call the roll.
Wait, that's not my understanding of what... Mr. Chairman, let the senator explain it.
That is my understanding, and if the Democrats could speak to it, if Chris or you, as we talked about before, that the Democrats would accept and endorse a 1 week FBI investigation, limited in time and scope.
Well, since you're the deciding vote here, we'll vote, and then if there's any sort of discussion, we'll go do that after the vote. Call the roll.
Mr. Hatch.
Aye.
Mr. Grant.
Aye.
Mr. Cornyn.
Aye.
Mr. Cruz.
Aye.
Mr. Sass.
Aye.
Mr. Flake.
Aye.
Mr. Tillis.
Aye.
Mr. Kennedy.
This is
aye.
On the nominee.
Mrs. Feinstein.
Yeah.
On the nominee, no.
Mr. Leahy.
On the nominee, no.
Mr. Durbin.
No.
Mr. Whitehouse.
No.
Ms. Klobuchar.
No.
Mr. Cruz.
On the nominee, no.
Mr. Blumenthal.
No.
Ms. Hirono.
No.
Mr. Hooker?
No.
Ms. Harris?
No.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, the votes are 11 days, 10 days.
The nominee will be reported to the floor.
Mr. Chairman, may I be recognized?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to thank my friend and colleague, Senator Flake, and thank you for giving us the time today to have a conversation. A number of my colleagues have asked for a one-week delay in order that there might be an FBI investigation of what allegations are currently before this committee. I respect Senator Flake's view that, in his opinion, it was best to respect your having given Dr. Ford the time to be heard yesterday and advance the nominee to the floor. But it is my hope that we could work together on a bipartisan basis to diligently pursue an FBI investigation within the next week, not for the purpose of delay, but for the purpose of investigating further either allegations made by Dr. Ford or others, with a goal towards demonstrating a bipartisan commitment to diligently investigating these allegations. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Senator Flake.
Senator Feinstein.
Thank you. I would support that motion. I think we do need this investigation. As a matter of fact, I sort of misunderstood, Senator Flake, what you were doing. I thought it included a one-week investigation. So I would like to support the motion for that investigation.
Ms. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman.
We'll take turns here. Senator.
I love this committee, but we're not the majority leader. Senator Flake has made clear what it would take him to be comfortable on a final passage vote. But it doesn't matter what we say here. This will be up to Senator Schumer and Senator McConnell. So
it is completely up to them.
Yeah, and I think Jeff has made himself very clear, and
Senator,
let's move.
Senator Leahy. Senator Leahy.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I want to make sure, because this is somewhat unprecedented. When I do agree with the senator from Arizona that we should have this further investigation. So my understanding is that during the week that that is taking place, there will be no action on the floor of the United States Senate on this nomination. Is that correct?
I cannot say that.
Let me say again, I can't make that commitment for the leadership. I can only say that I would be only comfortable moving forward on the floor. I'll move it out of committee, but I will only be comfortable moving on the floor until the FBI has done more investigation than they have already. It may not take them a week. I understand that some of these witnesses may not want to discuss anything further. But I think we owe them due diligence.
Mr. Chairman.
Just a minute. All I have said to Senator Flake is that I would advocate for the position he took, but I don't control that. Senator?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes. Senator Klobuchar.
Mr. Chairman, there are other senators as well who may be interested in this negotiation on the Republican side. And there's not really a set agreement here. All of us had already said we were voting no. It is simply Senator Flake working with all of us to say for the good of the Senate and the good of the court, the American people deserve to have the facts followed up on. And I really appreciate his willingness to do that. And that is what this is about. This is simply about, and by the way, if Senator McConnell wants to go forward in light of that, and we still have several senators that haven't said how they're voting on this nominee, I actually think this is very important, what just happened right now. So Senator, it doesn't have to have an agreement. It is one senator who's standing up.
Senator Cornett.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to express my appreciation to Senator Flake for allowing this process to move forward. There's some difference of opinion among us as to what exactly the FBI investigation would consist of. Some of us think it has been concluded and supplemented by this committee's investigation. Others disagree with that. But I respect the fact that not only Senator Flake advocated to give Dr. Ford a chance to appear in front of the committee, which was the right thing to do, but also that he's allowed this process to move forward.
And there is your ongoing coverage here from ABC. We want to thank them for keeping us in the know there. So you heard that. ABC News will have more at the top of the hour for you. Before we say goodbye today, I want to let you know about Newport's Best Harbor View. That is the Port Seafood Grill and Bar. Head down there this weekend. It's down there on the entry pier, offering one of Newport's best dinner deals, Lobster Mania, Thursday through Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m., where you can choose from six different lobster dishes for only $17.95, or enjoy a 1.25-pound lobster dinner for just $19.95. At the same time, bar happy apps, discounted appetizers, raw bar specials served at the bar and in the lounge area. Located on the harbor between Christie's Landing and the entry pier, the port. Hard to find, but worth the effort. Have a good weekend.
From the VD Mercedes-Benz, VD Volvo Cars of Tiverton Studios, this is your hometown information station. 1540 WADK Newport.
That is a pretty good breakfast. You're not even eating.
Not hungry. Why not? What's up? Kath and I knew that Jenny had been partying a bit. Found out she tried heroin.